And Lord Vishnu resides there in his form as Shirodakshayi Vishnu. His name is known as Shirodakshayi because he is he who lies on the milk ocean. Whereas Karanadakshayi Vishnu lies in Karana ocean, causal ocean. So that's Svetadvipa, his spiritual abode in the material realm, which is the topmost planet where Dhruva Maharaj rules that planet. Gatavati. Having gone. Twayi. You. Narada. Drashtum. To see. Tat. It's. Ishvaram. Lord Aniruddha. Brahma. Into the nature of the Supreme. Vada. A symposium. Who knows the meaning of symposium? Doctor? You know what is the meaning of symposium? It's not here. It's in the book.
Symposium.
Any scholars around?
Saying?
We'll see. Thank you. I don't know. You know?
Like a creation or an amalgamation of different things.
Okay. We'll continue. Thank you. Su. Enthusiastically. Samvritaha. Ensued. Shrutaya. The Vedas. Yatra. In whom Lord Aniruddha, also known as Shirodakshayi Vishnu. Shirate. Lay down to rest. Tatra. About him. Ha. Indeed. Ayam. This. Abhut. Arose. Prashna. Question. Tvam. You. Mam. Of me. Yam. Which. Anupriccasi. Again are asking. It's interesting why Aniruddha is also referred as Shirodakshayi Vishnu. We know from Krishna comes Balaram, and from Balaram comes the Chaturvyuha and so forth. So from Sankarshan, it is he manifests himself as Karanadakshayi Vishnu. And Karanadakshayi Vishnu's role is he is the soul of all the universes. He is the Paramatma of all the universes. And we know Pradyumna, who is one of the Chaturvyuha, he manifests himself as Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, who is the soul of all the living entities. All living entities. According to Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'll finish it off. And Shirodakshayi Vishnu, he manifests from Aniruddha. And he is the soul of each and every individual living entities. Whereas Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, he is the soul of all the living entities, according to Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the second chapter, in the purpose. If anyone wants reference, you can come to me. I just read it yesterday. Okay. Translation by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. At that time, you happen to be visiting the Lord on Svetadvipa, that Supreme Lord in whom the Vedas lie down to rest during the period of universal annihilation. A lively discussion arose among the sages on Janaloka as to the nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Indeed, the same question arose then that you are asking me now. We'll read it. Continue reading. Although the sages were all equally qualified in terms of Vedic study and austerity, and although they all saw friends, enemies and neutral parties equally, they chose one of their number to be the speaker, and the rest became eager listener. Continues. Sri Sanandana replied. Who is Sanandana? Very nice, thank you. Sri Sanandana replied, after the Supreme Lord withdrew the universe he had previously created, he lay for some time as if asleep, and all his energies rested dormant within him. When the time came for the next creation, the personified Vedas awakened him by chanting his glories. Just as the poets serving a king approach him at dawn and awaken him by reciting his heroic deeds. Purport. At the time of creation, the Vedas are the first emanations from the breathing of Lord Mahavishnu. And in personified form, they serve him by waking him from his mystic sleep. This statement made by Sanandana implies that Sanaka and the other sages had asked him the same questions that Narada had asked Narayan Rishi and Maharaj Parikshit had asked Shukadeva Goswami. Sanandana refers the question back to the example of the personified Vedas themselves in their address to Lord Mahavishnu. Even though the Vedas knew that the Lord, being omniscient, does not need to be informed of his glories, they enthusiastically took this opportunity to praise him. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadam Ayam Tathati Svapratantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamitam Cha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deven Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pastachade Shatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasha Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So who knows what is the question being asked here in this chapter? Go ahead. Very nice. Yes, very good. So very nice. You got it. The question was, how can the Vedas, which is situated in this material world, apparently has material words, can describe the Supreme who is beyond the material?
Yeah.
And whether the Lord is personal or impersonal? Very nice question. So who is the original, who asked this question originally? I mean in the beginning. Who can tell? Who was the first one who cited this question? Parikshit Maharaj to Shukadeva Goswami. So now, Shukadeva Goswami, he is referring this very same question, he's also referring to another discussion that took place. Who can say? What was the next? Who was discussing the same question and answers? Very nice. Narada Muni and Naranarayan Rishi. And in today's verse we know Naranarayan Rishi, he's referring this same topic to another scenario that took place where the same question was asked. Who was the same question asked? Pardon me? Who asked the question? Sanandana is the one who answers the question, but who asked this question? No, Narada Muni asked this question to Naranarayan Rishi. But who asked this question? And Naranarayan Rishi explains another scenario where this same question is being asked. But who asked this question to Sanandana?
The resident
of Jungle. You are reading. I'm just saying how attentive everyone is. Okay, very good. Thank you. So this question was asked by the residents of Janaloka, or the Janaloka is the place where all the sages perform austerities. It is considered, that planet is considered more opulent than where Lord Indra resides in heavenly planet. It's beyond the material sensual pleasure. It is actually more of a spiritual environment where people can render meditation without any distraction. So that the residents of Janaloka, the sages, they go and ask the same question to the four Kumaras, and the four Kumaras, among them Sanandana, answers this question. This is the system of parampara. Parampara system is where we can receive the knowledge properly, and you can say unadulterated, and we can perform Krishna consciousness nicely. I remember, I think so, I was 15 or 16 years old, or 2000, year 2000. I went to Bangalore temple, which is originally an ISKCON temple. And so I just went to visit there because it's where my hometown is. So when I went to visit and see the lords and so forth, so then one boy came, I guess so, you know, they were also trying to recruit as many ISKCON devotees because they were ritviks. So one boy came to me and he asked me, he told me, Prabhupada said, you don't have to, and Prabhupada is the final guru and you don't have to accept any other and servants of Srila Prabhupada as your spiritual master. So then I said, okay, fine, that this is what you're saying, what Prabhupada says, but if you can help me understand this principle of what Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita, then I'll accept. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, evam parampara praptam imam rajasayo vidhu sakale niyamata yoganasta parantapa. Krishna says that this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita has been passed through the chain of disciplic succession. From Manu, from Krishna, he spoke this knowledge to Sangad. And from Sangad, Sangad spoke it to Manu. And Manu spoke it to Ishvaku, and so forth. It went on from disciplic succession. But in due course, the disciplic succession broke. And therefore, Krishna says, therefore, I'm coming again. One of the reasons why Krishna is coming again is so that he can speak this knowledge which has been lost. And Arjuna, you can be the originator of this disciplic succession. So Krishna was very concerned that this disciplic succession wasn't broken. And that's why Krishna, in order to give this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita intact as it is, unadulterated, he came and presented this Bhagavad Gita to his very dear devotee Arjuna. So, if you can help me refute the statement of Krishna, then maybe I'll consider what you're saying. So that boy said, yeah, I'll come back within 2 minutes. And he never came back. He ran away. So this is the importance of of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. The Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is wonderful because the knowledge has been passed on in the chain of disciplic succession. If it wasn't for that fact, then obviously the disciplic succession or the knowledge would not be as profound as it is, as being presented through the chain of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and so forth. That is why it is very important that one refers to disciplic succession. In fact, Shukadeva Goswami, he is such an exalted devotee. He is not a conditioned soul of this world. He is such an exalted devotee. And he is referring this very same question to another situation where the same question was being asked by Narada Muni to Naranarayan Rishi. Shukadeva Goswami could take all the credit for himself, but no, he's not taking any credit for himself. He's passing on the credit to another generation where the same question was being asked. The answer Shukadeva Goswami is given in this chapter is wonderful because it is not from his own mental concoction. This question which is being asked by Shukadeva Goswami is being received through the chain of disciplic succession. So similarly, Narada Muni, he is such an exalted devotee, but he nevertheless accepts Naranarayan Rishi as his spiritual master. Similarly, Naranarayan Rishi also accepts a disciplic succession, though he is Krishna himself, to set the example. That is the point. Krishna, he doesn't need to receive the knowledge from a spiritual master. Because Krishna is Adi Guru, he is the original spiritual master. So where is the point that he has to receive any knowledge from anyone? He is the source of all knowledge. But yet, nevertheless, Krishna, in order to set the example, he accepts a spiritual master. We see Krishna, he accepted Sandipani Muni as his spiritual master. Krishna never said, I am the source of all knowledge and I should not accept any guru. He could, because he is the Supreme Lord, but nevertheless he does show, he sets an example. One has to be humble, one must approach a spiritual master and one must learn from the spiritual master and serve him. He shows that. He accepted Sandipani Muni as the spiritual master. He served Sandipani Muni. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, Rajendra Nandana se sachi sutta hoilo se. That Rajendra Nandan, who is the son of Maharaj Nanda Maharaj, he invented himself as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is non-different, he is the same person. Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the same person. Nevertheless, he also accepted a spiritual master. His spiritual master was Ishvara Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he knew this age of Kali would progress and it would degrade so much that people would reject their spiritual master. In order to show the importance of the spiritual master, he accepted Ishvara Puri as his spiritual master. To show that though he was the Supreme Lord, the source of all knowledge, but nevertheless, he accepted Diksha, he accepted Siksha from Ishvara Puri. This is the importance of disciplic succession. And only a foolish person can override this principle of parampara system. Only a foolish person, only a person with no spiritual intelligence will override this parampara system, this disciplic succession, and try to go beyond what Krishna has displayed or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown. This is the very important reason why one accepts disciplic succession, so that the knowledge can be unadulterated. Srila Prabhupada gives this wonderful example. Prabhupada says, in order that the mango come properly in shape and without any adulteration, what the proper system in India a person used to pick the mango and press it. Pass the same mango down the branch, and the person would take the mango and pass it down to another person down the branch, and ultimately come down perfect. So similarly, spiritual knowledge comes through the chain of disciplic succession in that way, without any adulteration. So here Sanandana says how Lord Vishnu, in his form of Karna Dakshayi, Mahavishnu, he lies down in the causal ocean. He breathes in the universe and he exhales the universe. So while he's asleep, the personified Vedas come and try and wake the Lord up. Just like Prabhupada gives the example, the king, he sleeps, and then the musician comes and play beautiful music, and poets come and they sing wonderful glories of the king. Oh, you're so powerful, you have defeated so many enemies, you've conquered so much land, you've acquired so much wealth. So in this way they boast the king, and so the king wakes up in peaceful mind. Like for example, when we wake up in the ashram, I don't have to go into so much details, but we just say, Uddhava, Adam, wake up, don't be in Maya.
I'm awake first.
Oh yeah, Uddhava says that to all of us. I remember when we were in Gurukul, one teacher would come, we would sleep in the bunk beds. So 1, 2, 3, 4. So we had one heavy teacher. We used to call him Yamaraj. So he would come, and when he would come, first thing he would do is turn on the lights, 3 o'clock, turn on the lights. And then you'd come in the middle where the bunk bed would be here, and there would be bunk bed here. So 4 boys would be sleeping. So he would get his hand on 2 of the bunk bed and start shaking. Jim Jago, Jim Jago! Wake up, sleeping soul, don't sleep in the witch called Maya, don't sleep on the lap of the witch called Maya, and shake the bed. Cause a whole earthquake. And then some of us would get upset with him and would purposely sleep in. So the teacher would take us with our sleeping bag and throw us in the garden, and we'll fall asleep there. Though there were so many snakes and so forth. So the teacher would get so fried, he would take us with the sleeping bag and throw us in the pukur, in the pond, have a cold shower. But the Supreme Lord doesn't have to be woken up like that. Supreme Lord, he is woken up very nicely by the Vedas, personified Vedas. The personified Vedas glorify Krishna. The personified Vedas, as we will know, are not words of the material realm. They are words of the spiritual realm, because they emanate from the nostrils of the Supreme Lord. So, personified Vedas come along with the creation. Why does the personified come along with the creation? Just like you have a watch, you get a manual along with it. Or you get a television, you get a manual along with it. Similarly, the manual of the universe is the personified Vedas. The personified Vedas teaches us how to reconnect our self with Krishna. This is the process of yoga. We have forgotten our link with Krishna, and the personified teaches us how to connect ourselves with Krishna. It teaches us what is the nature of this universe. It teaches us what is the nature of the spiritual world. It teaches us what is the nature of ourself. What is the nature of Krishna, and what is our relationship with Krishna. That is the purpose of personified Vedas. As explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaishcha sarve aham eva vedya vedanta krit veda videha chaham. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the purpose of all Vedas is to know Krishna, is to glorify Krishna. That is the real purpose of the Vedas. If one doesn't come to that conclusion, that is to glorify Krishna, then one hasn't actually understood the Vedas at all. But when one understood that the purpose of the Vedas is to glorify Krishna, and they imbibe that lifestyle where they can glorify Krishna, then they have perfected their understanding of the Vedas or the transcendental knowledge. Here we know some interesting pastime. Tell an interesting pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We know Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would perform his nocturnal kirtan, or he would perform his kirtan in the night time in the house of Shiva Thakur every day, so many months and so forth. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform this pastime where he would invite very, very intimate associates and sing the glories of Krishna. That time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very, very secretive in the sense that he wouldn't let the holy name be passed on to miscreants and so forth. So he would perform this pastime where he would sing the glories of the Lord in the house of Shiva Thakur. So then, for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform different pastimes while this was going on. One time we know some neighbors, they would come and knock on the door of Shiva Thakur and say, "Stop the kirtan, stop the kirtan." And sometimes they would threaten Shiva Thakur, "If you don't, then we'll tell the king." Because the king was Mohammedan, he was a Muslim. So, and he will punish you. Sometimes they would put black magic and try to scare Shiva Thakur. Sometimes put dead animals in the house, in the doorstep of Shiva Thakur. So the next day when the neighbors woke up, they would see, "Oh, Shiva Thakur is a meat eater and has killed animals. See how sinful he is." Sometimes, so in this way the neighbors would somehow try to stop the kirtan. Somehow try to put ill names, give ill name to Shiva Thakur and the associates. One day the neighbor said to Shiva Thakur, "You should not sing the glories of the Lord, because Lord Vishnu is sleeping and he will be disturbed." And if Vishnu gets disturbed, and that's it, end of creation. So better keep your holy name in your mind and don't reveal it out. But nevertheless, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a point to make. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to point out, by singing the glories of the Lord, that is the way to please Krishna. If one doesn't sing the glories of the holy name of the Lord, then Krishna is not pleased. Even if Krishna is sleeping, but if you sing the glories of the holy name of the Lord, Krishna is very, very satisfied. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sing every day to point out and illustrate that. In fact, later on, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed his full mercy potency, he gave this holy name to each and everyone, whether they were papi, whether they were sinful or not sinful, whether they deserved it or not deserved it, everyone got the holy name of the Lord. And in fact, when everyone got the holy name of the Lord, everyone would go in transcendental ecstasy of the Supreme, chanting the holy name of the Lord. It is not a philosophical, Krishna consciousness is not only a philosophical, you can say, grammatical study and lifestyle, but it is a life of experience. And you can experience it. You can experience spiritual beauty by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had this conversation with Prakashananda Saraswati. By singing the holy name of the Lord, one actually has understood the purpose of the Vedas. Otherwise, one has missed that very opportunity. To illustrate that point that Krishna is satisfied when one sings the glories of the holy name, there's a story which comes in one of the Puranas, in Padma Purana, in one of the Puranas, told by one of the devotees, Gauranga Prabhu, who is in Chaupati. He He told this pastime where there was a businessman. This businessman, he was constantly busy. And his wife was a very good devotee. So his wife would ask the businessman, "Businessman, please chant the glories of the holy name." The businessman said, "No, I don't have any time. I can't chant the holy name. I can't chant the name of Ram. Never. I don't have any time." So the wife was constantly trying to get his husband to chant the glories of Lord Ram. So one day the wife said, "Ah, you can chant the name of Ram. When are you free?" She asked, "When are you free?" The businessman said, "I am free when I am in the toilet and the bathroom." The wife said, "Oh, is it so? Then you can chant the glories of the name of Lord Ram in the toilet and bathroom." So the businessman said, "Okay." So he would chant the name of Ram in the bathroom. So while he was chanting the name of Ram, Hanuman heard the beautiful sound vibration. He was thinking, "Wow, who is singing the name of Lord Ram? I have to go and see him. I have to go and embrace him. I have to thank him. I have to pay obeisances to him." So Hanuman was following where the vibration of Lord Ram was coming from. And he came to our house. And he was looking for that businessman. "Where is he? Where is he? I have to see where he is." And then he heard the sound of the water coming down, having shower. Someone was taking bath, and while he was taking bath, he was chanting the name of Lord Ram. And Hanuman was very, very upset. "How can you chant the name of Lord Ram in the bathroom?" So Hanuman was hiding behind the door, waiting for him. So the businessman finished his shower, chanting the name of Lord Ram and blissing out. As he came out, chanting the name of Lord Ram, then Hanuman gave a big slap. Oh. The businessman fell down. So then the businessman said, "I will stop chanting the name of Ram. This monkey is a nuisance. This is what happens when you chant the name of Ram. The monkey comes and slaps you." So anyway, Hanuman goes to see Lord Ram in Ayodhya. So when he went, Lord Ram saw Hanuman. And Ram said, "Oh, I need a massage, you know. Feeling a bit of pain in the back." Hanuman said, "Yeah, sure, my lord, I will do anything for you." So Hanuman removed the chadar or the garment of Lord Ram and started massaging. As he was massaging, he noticed a hand on the back of Lord Ram. And Hanuman got very upset and angry. He said, "Ram, tell me who did this, who slapped you at the back. I will go and finish him up, kill him, I will beat him up." So Hanuman used his anger in the service of the Lord. And Ram said, "Oh, yeah, I was wondering, that's why it was paining, because someone was chanting the glories of my glories, and then some monkey came and slapped that businessman. That's why I have the mark on my back." So Hanuman noticed that it was this, and he committed an offense, and he asked for forgiveness. The point being, the Lord is pleased when one glorifies the Lord earnestly, sincerely. When one glorifies the Lord sincerely, then Krishna is pleased. Because such sound vibration is a sound vibration of the spiritual realm. Golokaya Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. That is Harinam Sankirtan, the holy name Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's a sound vibration that comes from Goloka Vrindavan. It's non-different from Krishna. So such sound vibration, when chanted, Krishna becomes very, very pleased. That's why we know in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada asked his devotees to constantly have the 24-hour kirtan in Vrindavan. So that Krishna, he can sleep and hear his glories. And Krishna can wake up and he can also hear his glories. That is the point. Alright, Krishna is not pleased by whatever grammatical scholar you may be, or by how much philosophy you may study, by how much austerities one performs, by how much ever holy baths you had in different rivers or holy places you have visited. One must glorify the Supreme Lord. That is the point. In Vrindavan, everyone glorified the Supreme Lord. The cows, when they moo, moo, they glorify, calling out Krishna, Krishna. Similarly, peacocks also glorify Krishna.
Cows, they on backwards, moo is on backwards.
And the birds, when they chirp, they glorify Krishna. And the coward boys, their only duty, their only service is to glorify Krishna. And the elderly coward woman, when they churn the butter becomes nectar because, and Krishna wants to steal it because the gopis are constantly chanting the Krishna's activities, Krishna's pastime, and their consciousness enters into the butter, and that's why Krishna goes and steals it. And the young damsels of Raja, they also sing the glories of Krishna. Everyone sings the glories of Krishna. This explained, Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpatarubho Druma Bhumi Chintamani Ganamai Toyam Amritam Kata Ganam Natyam Tamanam Api Vamsi Priya Sakhi Chirananda Jyoti Paramapi Picha. Kata Ganam Natyam. That when, if you hear any talks in the spiritual world, it's actually a song. That is how potent it is. Imagine how wonderful when they start singing. Every walk they render in the spiritual world is a dance. Imagine when they start dancing. That is what is spiritual world. Spiritual world is where there is concentrated glorification of the Supreme Lord. Where, when one chants, one experiences happiness, one experiences bliss. And such kind of vibe induces others to also chant the holy name of the Lord. And this is pointed out by Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur points out that when one chants the holy name of the Lord in mind, when one chants the holy name of the Lord in softly, just so that you can hear, and when one chants the holy name loudly, most effective is when one chants the holy name very loudly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Why? Everyone can hear. In fact, when you chant and it echoes back, but Haridas Thakur says, no, it is not an echo. It's not the echo that is coming back. The walls are also chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. This is the beauty. And that is how we can make spiritual advancement. When we actually enter into that mood, where one sincerely wants to try and glorify Krishna and dance for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna, he likes dancing. Krishna is Nataraj. He is the expert of all dancers. In fact, Lord Shiva, when he heard that Krishna was dancing in the hoods of Kaliya, Lord Shiva came. Why did Lord Shiva come? With all the demigods and so forth, so then they can play the musical instrument. Lord Shiva can play dundubi, kettle drum. And Lord Shiva's expert dancer. He's so expert that he's known as Nataraj also, in a way. He performs the Tandava Natara dance, where he dances so mad that he destroys the whole universe. So Lord Shiva also wanted to accompany and play the music for Krishna while he was dancing in the hood of Kaliya. But Krishna was so expert, he danced so nicely that Lord Shiva could not keep the rhythm and he lost the beat. That's how it's explained. That's why Lord Krishna is known as Nataraj, because Lord Shiva can't even keep up the pace where Lord Krishna can display. He was so expert. That's what we should allow Krishna to dance in our mind. If we allow Krishna to dance in our tongue, by the sound vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Prabhupada said, when one chants the holy name, Radha and Krishna's dancing. And that is good thing. What is bad about it? When one chants the holy name nicely, then, just like Krishna danced on the hooves of Kaliya, all the poisonous effect and all the material substances came out of the mouth of Kaliya. Similarly, if we let the holy name dance in our mouth, then all the Kaliya kind of serpent kind of senses or the mind can spit out all the poison and all the material obnoxiousness out of the consciousness and have Krishna and have the consciousness Krishna consciousness. So what is wrong with it? So we should just allow Krishna to dance in our mouth by glorifying Krishna. Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra. And we should also dance. This is one of the principles taught by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One of the anga or service to the deity is to dance for the pleasure of the Lord. So this is how Krishna is very, very happy. Krishna is not happy by the amount of incense you offer, or the amount of ghee lamp you offer, or the amount of elaborate worship you offer. Krishna is happy to see when his devotees are happy when they glorify and dance for the pleasure of the Lord. Krishna is happy when the devotees are happy, and devotees are happy when Krishna is happy. So this is good, isn't it? Everyone is happy. You're happy, Krishna's happy. This is what is explained in Chatur Shloki Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, devotees relish, they're very happy when they glorify Krishna. And Kapila Muni also points out, Satam Prasangam Mama Virya Sambhido, that the devotees relish when they discuss among each other about the glories of the Lord. They sing the holy name of the Lord. They chant about his pastime activities. And that is what keeps us away from our material problems. Material problems comes when we stop the holy name of the Lord. If anyone realized that, that's very good. And everyone has realized that. You can see in the Bhagavatam class, anyone of you are sad. You're all happy. Some people may be worried about this business, you know, oh, I lost so much money. Some people be worried, oh, this oil prices are hiking up and so forth. But for devotees, there is no distress because they have the holy name. And that is the only good quality that is left in Kali Yuga. That is the only good thing. The sages are envious of this age, Kali Yuga, because there is this holy name of the Lord. They're envious in the sense that, oh, these residents of Kali Yuga, they can get liberated just by chanting the holy name. Oh, I wish I can take birth just so that I can glorify the Lord. This is the only good quality that is left in this age of Kali. And we lose it. What is there for us? We have no other home. We'll just swim in the ocean of nations of birth and death. So that's why hopefully today whoever is here can encourage others to chant and dance for the pleasure of the Lord, which is good. And they can also take stronger initiative to improving their dancing and chanting for the pleasure of the Lord. So I hope I haven't offended anyone or criticized anyone. But if there is any criticism, questions, please. Or comments. Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Why did we go over Vrindavan?
Svetadvip is Goloka Vrindavan. Svetadvip is a spiritual realm. It's actually Vaikuntha planet.
Because in that verse that you quoted, it says that
realm. Rajasvetadvipam. Yes. It is the spiritual world, but in the material realm. Just like we have
Gokul
Vrindavan.
Yes, but it is, considered.
It's like, it's just Prabhupada gives this example. You have an American embassy in Australia. And when you go inside the American embassy, Australian laws doesn't imply when you enter into American embassy. You got to follow American law. So, oh no, I get this visa because this is how the Australians do. No, no, you got to follow the American law. Similarly, the Svetadvip or Gokul Vrindavan that is in this material world, it's not of the material realm, it is spiritual realm. If you enter, the spiritual laws follow on. Not one is not under the jurisdiction of material modes. And that is what is also explained. What is that Vrindavan? That Vrindavan is where there is glorification of Krishna. When one glorifies Krishna, that place becomes Vrindavan. And more you glorify Krishna, the more material effects go away, and the more the spiritual vibes is manifest. This is explained by Nityananda Prabhu to Advaita Acharya to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Wherever you are, O Mahaprabhu, that is Vrindavan. Similarly, wherever Krishna's devotees are, that is Vrindavan, because there is glorification of Krishna. And it is explained, the holy places can get contaminated because many people come and dump their sinful activities. They dump their sinful activities on the holy dam, and they dump their sinful activities on the holy rivers like Ganga and Yamuna and so forth. But the pure devotees, who glorifies Krishna sincerely, they come and they actually purify the holy dam. They purify the holy rivers. That's why the rivers have that potency. That's why the dam has that potency to purify you. Ultimately coming from the devotees who glorify Krishna. So Svetadvip is spiritual realm. It's like actually spiritual embassy in the material realm.
But it is different to Gokul
Vrindavan. Vaikuntha is different from Goloka Vrindavan. Vaikuntha is a place where there is awe and reverence, where there is submissive service attitude. Whereas Goloka Vrindavan is the place where there is sweetness, madhurya. Whereas Vaikuntha is a place where it's Aishwarya. Aishwarya means awe and reverence and venerations. Whereas Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, that is very sweet. One serves Krishna as a mother.
So
one serves Krishna as a father.
So Svetadvip is far higher than Vaikuntha.
No, Svetadvip is Vaikuntha.
It is
Vaikuntha, but in the material realm. Just like Gokul Vrindavan is Goloka, but in the material realm. In the sense, it's an embassy kind of thing. You get it? You understand?
Yeah.
Quite simple. In order for Krishna to perform his pastime in the material world, he brings the Gokul Vrindavan, which is ultimately Goloka Vrindavan. So Svetadvip is Goloka Vrindavan in its Vaikuntha feature.
Yeah, is a bit I'm confused about is Svetadvip is considered within the milk ocean, which is in the material sphere.
Yeah, there is, that is it.
But then the spiritual sphere is within the material sphere, Svetadvip, and Goloka. The Goloka Vrindavan is considered Svetadvip, considered that to hold Goloka Vrindavan in there.
Just like to make you understand, Krishna, he is Swayam Bhagavan. Yes? You agree? Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, Narayan, he is the plenary expansion of Krishna. So Krishna, he is Swayam Bhagavan, and his realm is Goloka Vrindavan. That is his home.
Yeah.
But when Krishna comes in his form of Narayan, then his home becomes Vaikuntha, not Goloka Vrindavan.
And is his home always swayed at will?
For Narayan, yeah. Yes.
But Krishna?
Yes. Krishna, he stays in Goloka Vrindavan, which is the highest of spiritual planets. There's so many spiritual planets. There's so many Vaikuntha planets. Ayodhya is one of the highest. And above Ayodhya is Kurukshetra, or where the Pandavas reside. Above Kurukshetra is Dwaraka Dham. Above Dwaraka Dham is Mathura Dham. And above Mathura Dham is Goloka, or Vrindavan. That is explained in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Gokumar, he goes for a journey trying to discover what is his true identity and his service in relationship with the Lord. And he goes through all these passages where he goes to Svetadvip, and then he goes to Vaikuntha, and then he goes to Ayodhya, then he goes... So there is variegatedness. Although they're all one, they're all spiritual, they're all part of spiritual world, but there is variegation, variegatedness.
Yeah.
There is highest planetary system, and so forth. Goloka Vrindavan is the highest planetary system. So when Krishna displays his activity in this material world, he brings his Gokul Vrindavan, which comes from Goloka Vrindavan. When Narayan performs his pastimes in this material world, he brings his Vaikuntha in the form of Svetadvip. Okay?
Thanks.
Anyone else could understand this? Yes, quite simple.
I just couldn't link up one thing. When the Vedas, everything is personified in relationship to the Lord and fully cognizant, so that
yes.
The Vedas stand out of the nostrils of the Lord.
Yes.
Where they form of a person, and how do you link up the hoods of a sage glorifying the Lord, you know, at the time of annihilation? Did the hoods of Asesha were also fully cognizant of where Mahavishnu is, did they perceive the Vedas when they came from the nostril of the Lord?
Yeah, they must have perceived, because they're always with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vedas are personified.
Yeah.
It is explained, the personified Vedas, they ask Krishna for a benediction. They ask Narayan for a benediction. That they come as Shruti Charyas. They come as Shruti Charyas. So they come as gopis and perform rasa dance. So they are sadhaka bhaktas, where they become devotees through the sadhana process. And then they come to the Vrindavan stage. Similarly, Dandakaranyas, the sages from Dandaka forest, they saw Lord Ram in his Bal Gopal form, in his form of Krishna, and wanted to have a relationship with Krishna in that mood. So they got the blessing from Lord Ram to come as gopis, and they came as Municharis. So the Municharis and Shruticharis, they come from the personified Vedas and from these rishis or the sages.
Just one more little thing.
Yes,
wait. Lord Brahma, what was the link between sages and after Lord Brahma carried out the austerities and heard Lord Krishna's flute?
I can't hear you.
What was the relationship between the sages, and at what time did they appear after Lord Brahma was carried out the austerities and heard Lord Krishna's flute?
Carried out the
what did Lord Brahma hear from Lord Krishna's flute? Was it the Gayatri Mantra?
Yeah, it's explained that from Krishna's flute, Brahma heard the Gayatri Mantra.
And yeah. Did the sages come after that?
The sages came after
him. After that.
Yeah, when he got his... And also, he got that realization, as explained by Prabhupada, where he glorified this in his beautiful poem, Brahma Samhita, just by hearing the sound vibration of Krishna's flute.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, yeah.
You told the story about Hanuman?
Yeah. This devotee, Gauranga Prabhu, he's a very scholarly devotee. I have to ask him, because he told this pastime while I was in Chaupati. He said it's from one of the Puranas, but I'm not sure where it is. But the point being that Krishna is happy to hear his glories. Krishna is more interested in hearing his glories than his sleep. That is the point. That is the point. Yeah. Okay, one small quick question and then finish.
One comment you thought that you have printed actually is one of the most best lecture I've heard about the
Prabhupada and the spiritual masters, they get the credit. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.